Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light, and the light, and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, with my co-host Tim Bitt from the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian from the state of Texas, Courtney Carruthers from the state of Illinois, Steve Corder from the state of Florida, Patrick L. Metlock from the state of Florida, Willie Williams III from the state of Texas, Clay Phillips from the state of Georgia, Brian Christian Coleman from the state of New Jersey, Robert Lee Johnson from the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, we are grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loved and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we praise you will be my co-host on the show this evening that will be breaking unto us the bread of life, Patrick L. Metlock and Willie Williams III, and also the answer the questions from Brother Clay Phillips, who are on the hearts of so many who are pondering as they study and seek the truth from God's word. We pray that you'll continue to bless their families that are supporting their efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you'll bless our listeners who are tuning into this broadcast through Blog Talk Radio and also through social media, Facebook. We pray that they may listen well. And as they listen, they will consider their eternal stance before you. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize without such a sacrifice that we will not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you will forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies, for we know our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on this evening. In the first segment, my co-host, Patrick L. Metlock, he serves as the evangelist for the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ in the first segment. And then in the second segment of the show, I have a shout-out question from my social media platform on Facebook that we'll be posing to my co-host, Clay Phillips. Clay serves as the evangelist for the Rose City Church of Christ there in Thomasville, Georgia. And he'll be answering our question on the show this evening. And then to close out the show, my co-host, Willie Williams III. He serves as the evangelist for the North Colony Church of Christ there in Dallas, Texas. He'll be making this proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock. Enjoy the show.
Hallelujah. How many can testify this morning that the Lord is worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor? Gave his life on Calvary for a sinner like you and me. So we ought to just give God the highest praise, just to tell him thank you. Y'all want to help me this morning? Won't you help me sing? Hallelujah. Help me sing, yeah, yeah. No, he's worthy of praise, glory, and honor. I'm gonna give him the highest praise for all of my days. Y'all don't mind, just let me tell you a few reasons why we've been praising. Come on. See, it's God that woke us all up this morning. Yeah, clothes on the back, food on the table. Why we ought to give him the highest praise? That ain't all he done, all he done. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet for a sinner like you and me. That's why we ought to praise him endlessly. Y'all, we didn't deserve it, no. Come on, we ought to give him all our praise. And y'all come on and help me sing this song right here. I said, let the Spirit, let it rise. Come on, let the Spirit, let it rise. The praises of the King, he's our King. Well, I'm gonna, and you wanna, we've got to, hey. I'm gonna let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord sing. Let the glory of the Lord. You ought to let it rise. Lord, it's been good to you. You gotta let it rise. Somebody say it. The praises and what the blessings come pouring down. So we gotta let it rise. Lift your voice and sing. This song right here. Come on.
Tell
them. I said, Lord, the people praise you. Say,
Lord, the people praise you.
You know, we lift you up and praise you, Lord.
Lift you up and
hey,
praise
Lord,
you.
You are the Holy One.
You
yes, you are, Lord. You're the one, you're the only one.
You're the one, you're
come
the
on.
Only one.
I said, Lord, the
yeah.
people love
Lord,
you.
Lord,
yeah.
the people love you.
And we place nobody above you, Lord.
Lord,
because you are the Holy One. Hey, Lord, that you're the one, you're the only one. Come on, everybody sing, holly, holly, hallelujah.
Holly, holly, hallelujah.
All the glory is to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, you are the Holy One. Hey,
you're
the one, you're the only one.
You're the one, you're the only one.
I said, if I had 10,000 tongues,
if I had 10,000 tongues,
I would bless you with everyone.
I would bless you with everyone.
Lord, you are Holy One.
You are Holy One.
Say, if I had 10,000 hands,
if I had 10,000
hands, I would bless you as you come,
like
oh
you
Lord,
you,
you are the Holy One.
You are the Holy One.
Say,
Show. Now my co-host Patrick L. Metlock and his subject, God Doesn't Need Another Fan.
Thank you, Brother Butler, and I bring you greetings from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, where it all comes together spiritually. And Brother Butler, I think I've expressed to you privately as well as over the airways just how pleased I am to be a part of this effort where you have brethren from our fellowship of white and black in particular, and even if you want to say and add further diversity, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But this is something that's a part of my history. I'd almost say a part of my DNA. Those of you from Michigan who remember that my father was part of an open forum broadcast called Christ Is Your Answer from 1981 to 1995, and that area, that program where we actually aired it over the airwaves, channel TV 62 there in Detroit for years. And he was the moderator, and there were various other brothers who would, both white and black, who would answer questions for either a half hour or a whole hour. And it just was a great thing. And I even had thoughts when I was still ministering in Detroit of reviving it. But it wasn't the Lord's will, but the Lord did put me in a position to be here. And so I'm very, very appreciative of it, Brother Butler. Today I'd like to bring you a subject that is drawn from Luke chapter 9 and verse number 57. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 57 beginning. I'm a New American Standard Bible guy. I believe that that is... that is purported to be the most accurate of the Bibles, that if you are a Greek or a Hebrew or maybe even an Aramaic scholar, and they lost all the manuscripts, but you are the most fluent, most of those most proficient in those languages and the most fluent, that they could take the New American Standard Bible and reverse translate. I'm not sure that's the right term. You can tell I'm not a Bible scholar in that sense. And to be able to recreate what the original language said, because it just appeals to accuracy just that much. The Bible says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have a hole and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about the subject, God doesn't need another fan. God doesn't need another fan. And as I give you this message, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith from 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1, rather in verse number 5. And if you're going to comment on this with a hashtag, I would prefer that you, and one of your hashtags at least is hashtag the faith to follow. Hashtag the faith to follow. I want you to think about a duck. Usually there's the adult duck. Usually I would think mama duck who is in the lead and her ducklings are usually following her. Usually they follow her right in the line. They're almost there trying to step in her steps because they want to make sure that they get the stance right, that they get the gait right, that they're following the exact same path. So those ducklings follow the leader. They don't get ahead of the leader. They don't get too far behind the leader. They are following the leader. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I would encourage all of us to have the duck mentality. Because just like the old saying goes, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. But ultimately, a duck is going to follow the leader. And I would say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God is in the business of wanting us to follow him and not just to be around him. So in this particular text in Luke chapter 9, which if any of us have been in Bible study or associated with church any length of time, you are aware of this particular passage. And you're aware of some of the things that it said, and you may have actually heard many a sermon related to this particular lesson or this particular passage. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that as I give my version of this, I'm hoping that I'm not necessarily that it's something new, but it's something that will remind you of the very, very important spiritual truth about following Jesus. One thing I can speak to you about Jesus is Jesus knows the difference between a follower and a fan. You know, a follower is a person who might be willing to give of their means, but a fan, that's what a fan might do, but and not come to church at all. Maybe give that big donation once a year, and then after that or beyond that, would not want to be associated at all. Say, I've done what I needed to do. I've given up my money, and that's all that they're concerned about. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I say to you that God wants more than that. He doesn't just want just some of our means. He wants us to model our life after him. So those people who are fans are people who are willing to just drop his name, where those that are followers are ones that are willing to submit to his name. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus is going to know the difference between a fan and a follower. That's in essence what you got at the beginning of this text in Luke chapter 9, verses 40, 57, and 58, where when you look at what it says again, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. I want you to think about how that sounds. Doesn't that sound like what we all might would say if we saw Jesus? I will follow you wherever you go. But just like then, now Jesus knows when we're just giving lip service, when we are in the business of just dropping his name instead of submitting to his name. He knows the difference. And Jesus knew the difference with this individual. When we look at other context, other parallel passages that also reference this particular instance, we learn that this gentleman was not just a regular Joe Schmo, but he was a scribe. He was a teacher of the law. So when a lot of people who back in that day couldn't actually read, you did have those scribes that were able to not only read the law, but also to be able to teach it. And so scribes would aside, would get beside or associate themselves with rabbis that they thought could further their career or and or be able to establish greater credibility. Paul was able to say that I came from Gamaliel. I was able to follow his will in his way, even though Paul himself was not a scribe. It just didn't matter who you were hanging with. People were of a point at this point in Jesus' ministry where he was definitely viewed as somebody that you would want to be associated with. The scripture is already passed where it talks about that he spoke with authority and not just as one of the scribes. So the scribe acknowledged him as a master. And so when he says, I will follow you wherever you go, even though there might have been the association that the scribe had, and maybe for some scribes, they truly did want to be followers of a particular school of thought or a particular rabbi of note. But Jesus knew this person's heart. And even though the words were, I will follow you wherever you go, just like we will say that we will sing the song, the saints go marching in that number when the saints go marching in, when we'll sing the song, Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus everywhere we go. Any other sentiments that whether we say them or we sing them, where we're dropping Jesus' name and we're saying the affirmations that indeed we feel are spiritual and are the right things to say, are the things that maybe Jesus would want to hear. But I wonder if Jesus would say the same thing to some of us that he said to this scribe and this Jesus wannabe follower when he says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He knew that there was a limit to the capacity of his willingness to follow Jesus. He knew that he would only go so far and then he would fall by the wayside. He knew that even though maybe seed had indeed been planted in this scribe, that seed wasn't of a nature where he would truly be able to bear the type of fruit that needs to be born. Because for you to bear fruit, God's going to put you through some fire. And you got to know that when you follow Jesus, you're not going to get heaven in a straight line. There are going to be that you're going to have to endure and still be able to say, naked I came into the world, if I can channel my inner Job, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus knows when we're speaking out of inconsiderate impulses, when we're letting our enthusiasm get the best of us versus us truly being the followers of Christ God would have us to be. Let's look a little bit further in this text and see what else we can learn, because a lot of us have excitedly gotten into things and done things not really knowing what we need to know. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 30, where the Bible says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be a disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, not able to finish, all who observe it began to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. How goofy it is if you're trying to build a house and your neighbors are saying, hey, you know what, that house has kind of not made a lot of progress lately. It's just sitting there dormant. And it becomes a deal where as you come back and forth, you end up having to explain all the time that I didn't count the cost, or I ran out of money, or I ran out of this, or I didn't quite plan for that. So the whole idea of following Jesus is about indeed what is said here in this text, that if you don't carry your cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. You got to give up your own life. Truly following Jesus is of that nature. Are you willing to love life? To give up, as I talked about more recently, a club that basically is stealing your religious fervor or energy. You have it there and you don't have it with Jesus. Is it something that where you'd rather all your energy than in Jesus? I mean, I'm a follower of University of Michigan. As you may see, I have my University of Michigan outfit on again, and some of you who've seen some of my devotional seems like I probably have more Michigan stuff than anybody you know, and I don't know if that's truly true or not. And I'm a true Michigan fan, I'm going to say. I would say I'm definitely a follower. I'm an alumni member, have been in the past. So I'll say to you that it's more than just a potion. I graduated from Michigan. Because of that, I'm plugged into that school, to their athletics, and really to the things and the accomplishments that it has given me and that I try to give back to. So I want you to think about this. And even though all of that is there, I understand that all of that comes second to me following Jesus. That I have to choose between becoming an alumni member and giving up my means to the church. I'm going to make sure the church gets with it. Because I'm not just a fan. I'm a true follower of Christ. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I say to you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is going to know the difference between a fan and a follower. Let me say to you that Jesus knows about our conflicting duty. If you literally look a little bit further at the context of Luke 9, again, we're going back to Luke 9, and this time we're going to pick up with verse 59, Luke 9 and 59. And he said to another, follow me. This is different than the other gentleman. And the other gentleman wasn't told, follow me. He approached Jesus voluntarily and said, I'll follow you wherever you go. But this person isn't being hearing. He's being voluntold in the dictionary. That's a real word. But for any of us who've been working at various places where we didn't have a choice, we were told, hey, you know, it'd be nice if you do it. And you know that it wasn't like a thing you can say no to, you're being voluntold. You know how that goes. Jesus says, follow me. But he said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60, but he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as you go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Let me teach a little bit before I go any further about this text. The man's father is not dead. Contextually, when he says, permit me to first go and bury my father, the Jews, when their loved ones died, they're in the grave within 24 hours. So this is not something that's a short-term thing like that. What you're really looking at here is he's saying, look, my father is either sick or my father is old, and there's going to come that I got to really go take care of my father, make sure he gets buried so that really can make sure that I'm focused on you, but I can't do that if I have the conflicting duties where I am feeling responsible to make sure that my father gets buried in the right way, that his affairs are in order, that he's laid to rest. And that in and of itself doesn't sound like it would be anything. I mean, many of us would say, hey, you know what? I would worship you, but first, I got to work and get this overtime on Sunday, or, you know, I have to work on Sunday. And even though the preacher, me, and other, and almost any minister will write a letter for you that says that, hey, this person is a Christian in the Church of Christ. We take the communion every single Sunday. this is, and the world understands about the idea of taking communion. So they understand how important that is. So when you can say, look, this for our in our fellowship, we take communion every Sunday. He needs a service. She needs a service to take off, to actually go and make sure that they're doing what they need to do. Schedule him so that he can do it. Here are our services. So we can write those letters, and employers who are eligible and are on the First Amendment, indeed, to actually respond in kind and give you a reasonable accommodation. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that there's nothing that should so dominate our lives that we can't follow Jesus the way we need to follow. Allow me first to bury my father. Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. The most important thing in the world is for us to go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And this person apparently has that ability, has that willingness, and that if Jesus is saying, follow me, because I know who you are, I know what God has blessed you to be able to do, come and do that for me. A real follower will do just like those disciples, those men who were fishers of men. Matthew was a tax collector, left his tax collector, immediately went, dropped their net, and immediately said, I accepted Jesus' overture to become fishers of men. Be willing to allow Jesus' will, Jesus' way, Jesus' business to take priority over any and everything else. Listen at the same type of urging that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline. I want you to understand something. When it's all said and done, if we are going to follow Christ, we got to follow it without fear. We got to follow it with power in the mighty name of Jesus. We got to follow it having proper love for people, even people we don't like. We still got to love them. And you got to have a sense of, King James calls it sound mind discipline. That means that you don't just follow Jesus when you want to follow him. You follow him when all the time. So you don't miss the service. Yeah, it's a bad thing when you're late for that, you're on time for everything else, even early for work, and you can't make it to church to save your life on time, if you make it there at all. A little ache and pain will cause you to stay home, whereas you're going to go and meet the man, and you're going to get that dollar, and you're going to make that, and you're not going to miss any time. You got so much sick time laid up, whereas you have exhausted all of your sick as far as churches. The idea of discipline, the idea of having that regimen, being able to follow it, being dependable, having counted the cost, being able to plan, all of that is part of it. So when verse 8 says, therefore do not, 2 Timothy 1 and 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. You can read the rest of verses 9 through 12, which further states the case as to why Timothy should do it. In verse 11, he says, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us have our niche. All of us have the things that when Jesus says, follow me, that he wants you to do. He's blessed you. He's prepared you all of this time for this moment in time when you can go and be the vessel that God has prepared you to be. So when Jesus says, follow me, we can't make those other responsibilities that we feel we might have be in conflict with what God is actually asking you to do. And you know, you'll garner respect from your family and from your friends, from your church members, and from people who barely know you, when they know that the Lord and his business, isn't that what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, wist ye not that I should be about my father's business? we are always going to be asked to do that. And I'm wondering whether or not we're willing to suffer. We're willing to set aside. We're willing to sacrifice. So that when Jesus actually does say, follow me, that you understand that his overture to us following us, following him, is not because he hasn't prepared you or will not prepare you for what you need to do and how you need to do it and how he would need to receive the glory and the honor. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus knows about our conflicting duties. And also you need to know that Jesus knows about our divided mind. Look at the rest of the text in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 61. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Now, I want you to understand that this wasn't just a regular goodbye, but it was going to take some time for him to put some things in order and to be able to do the things that he needed to do. This is not unlike the second person. But in this particular case, there is some nuances, some differences. The Greek for the word another here in verse 61 is another of a different kind. So you have the heteros, that they're not allos, that's the Greek word there. And the idea behind permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Jesus gives you an indication with his response as to how he views this person's excuse as different than maybe the first two. When Jesus said to him, the text says, no money, after putting his hands on the kingdom, was fit for the kingdom of God. So God was able to look at his heart. And Jesus was able to say, as a result of what was seen, that, hey, this is a person that is not just merely saying goodbye. This person, even when he comes my way, he's going to be divided because he'll be with me physically, but his heart will still be at home. And he's saying, look, you can't put your hand. I don't know how many of y'all are country boys or how many of y'all have ever plowed a garden and you've used maybe my father in Tennessee used a tiller to actually do it. I want to say he might have even done it in Michigan when we were up there, but we had a tiller. So whether you're using a tiller, whether y'all go way back on the farm where y'all had y'all 40 acres and you had your mule, and so the mule actually was pulling the plow and you were making sure that you kept it straight. See, you got to understand that when you have that responsibility, you can't go but walk behind a plow with one hand. You got to keep two hands on it. You got to pay attention to what you're doing because you want straight rows so that as you plant the seed, there'll be enough depth, there'll be enough space for that plant to actually grow correctly out of the ground. And I don't know about y'all, but I like my maters and taters right. What about y'all? So if you're going to actually do that, Jesus says, look, you can't have one hand on the plow. You're going to have some messed up rows. You got straight row over here. And then because your hand's divided, because now all of a sudden you're looking back, all of a sudden your mind ain't where it needs to be. You have taken the plow and it is now trudged over into the straight row that you made over here to the right or to the left, to the point where now not only is the current row that you did messed up, but the road to the right and or to the left will now be messed up because you can't have one hand on the plow. I don't know about you guys, but this is a very special for those of us. The way that God would have you to do it. To the point, ladies and gentlemen, to the point, brothers and sisters, where our minds aren't divided, but we're doing exactly what God would have us to do. So here's the thing that happens when you're a follower and not a fan. When you're a follower, you're not going to have divided a loyalty. You're going to be plugged into God all the way. And you know what? There are some things that are enemies to us being true followers. Let me talk about that as I piggyback and segue into this divided loyalty item. So look at this right here. Look at what the Bible has to say. In Luke chapter, we already looked at Luke chapter 9 and verse 61 and 62. I'll make a quick reference to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 13. I'll just read the first couple of verses. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlists him as a soldier. Also, if anyone may please, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Again, Paul in 2 Timothy, this time 2 Timothy 2, is making the appeal to Timothy. And I need you to understand something, that the world is the first enemy that's associated with your being able to be a true follower and a fan, because the world will set up all of these norms and all of these rules and all of these values, and none of them would seem to establish following Christ as part of their program, as part of their agenda. The world is something that we're in, but we're not of. If we're in a boat and we're in the water, the boat is in the water, but the thing you don't want is the water in the boat. You may be in the world, but we don't want the world in you. Second is our flesh, because we can truly be divided and have our mind divided when we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that is driving us versus the Spirit of God that should be within us. You guys already know what James 4, verses 4 says. You adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is the friendship of the world with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And, you know, the thing that really stands out when it comes to the idea of following the flesh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is that when we became Christians, we should have closed the flesh's plant down. And maybe to some extent we have, but then we still got all those products still in our bloodstream, physically and spiritually, to the point where we oftentimes still have to fight the lust of the flesh, even though we now are being guided by the Spirit. And then lastly, the idea, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is not just that the world is an enemy of our being a follower or the flesh, but also the devil himself. The devil is a deceiver, the Gospel of John says. And the devil is a liar. And I don't know about you, but I'm just so easily deceived. I'm one of these individuals where I'll watch the television and it'll say, up to 70% off. Now, I didn't hear the up to. I just heard the 70% off. So here I am grabbing my keys. I'm running down there because realize that when they say up to 70% off, the one little thing over in the corner of the store that is 70% off was sold before the current commercial even aired. So you get in there and nothing's in there that's only 10 to 15% off. They say, oh, all the other stuff's already been sold. And so now you don't want to feel stupid. So you go ahead and buy the 10 to 15% off. Or some of you are into some of these rewards programs where they make you spend $400 for a $10 gift card. You got to understand that you're not the one that's being rewarded. They are the ones that's being rewarded as a result of you going in there. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the devil wants to deceive us just like that. And that'll cause us to think that it's okay just to be associated, just to be in the assembly, just to be around Christians versus truly being followers of God. And the Lord will deceive us into thinking, if I just go on a Sunday morning and I only mainly just hear the sermon and I just mainly get the communion, then I have truly worshiped God like I should, or I give up my means, or I'm doing some of the things that God would have me to do. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's not truly following God. That's just being a fan. And God doesn't need any fanboy and fangirls. God needs true followers. Don't let the world be your enemy. Don't let the flesh be your enemy. And don't let the devil continue to deceive us like we've allowed him to deceive us. The devil is not your friend. The Bible tells us that he is our adversary. I leave you, ladies and gentlemen, with this last simple and final truth. And I'm just going to give you this free of charge. I'm not going to, you know, I ask you to put anything on from your Visa or your American Express. I just am going to give you this for free. And that it's never wrong to do right. And it's never right to do wrong. So do right under God. Do right unto others. And do right by yourself. And you will never, ever go wrong. I bid you Godspeed. Thank you, Brother Butler, for the time and the opportunity to make this proclamation. I hope that this has been a blessing to your life as it has been to mine to develop it and to deliver it. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, due to our time restraints, we're going to go ahead and go into our second segment of the broadcast. This is the portion of the broadcast where we have a question from my social media platform, Shout It Out. And we want to pose this question to my co-host. We also want to encourage our listeners to join this group on social media, Facebook, and just get involved in those biblical discussions. Now, my co-host, Clay Phillips, he serves as the evangelist for the Rose City Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia. He'll be answering our question in this segment. How you doing, my brother?
Doing marvelous, my friend. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Now, this question we have for your consideration is from an anonymous querist from the state of Virginia. And the scriptural reference that's given for this question is Acts chapter 21 and verse 9. Now, let me go ahead and read that text. And it says, "And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." Now, here is the question for your consideration. Since Philip was one of the seven, can we infer that his daughters was preachers? What say you to this question?
That is a very, very good question, and I'm pleased to answer that question. Now, to answer this question, to deal with this question, we must go to the Old Testament first and understand the relevance of the question. We must go to the Old Testament first. Now, we must understand the role of the woman. We must understand the role of the woman. Okay, now, they did not understand, when you study the Bible and look at the role of the woman in the church, in the Old Testament, the role of the woman was never, there was never a king, there was never a priest, no woman wrote any prophetic book of the Old Testament. There were 39 books in the Old Testament. No woman wrote books in the New Testament. And so here we find, must understand, they had no ongoing prophetic ministry. No woman in the Bible. So now understand, we must go to the Old Testament. I'm going to the Old Testament first, so you can understand and see what is going on. No woman in the Old Testament ever had any ongoing prophetic ministry. There are five women in the Old Testament, in the historicity of the Old Testament, that are called prophetess. Now, let's look at those five just for a few minutes here. Now, number one was Miriam. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 20 through 21, we find that Miriam only became a prophetess or called a prophetess for a one time. Understand now, any woman in the Old Testament or any woman that spoke prophetically, it was a one-time deal, only because she gave a brief revelation to women, found in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 16. That was a one-time deal, Miriam. Deborah, did a one-time deal with Barak. You remember she gave revelation to Barak about a war. That was a one-time deal. She was called a prophetess. Hadar did a one-time deal. Also, she gave revelation from God to Hilkiah, the priest, and other men of the Bible in that time. So it was a one-time deal. So you can study the Bible. Then we have Noadiah. Noadiah was a false prophetess. She was a false prophetess. And so she went and opposed Nehemiah. And so, but it was a one-time deal. Then also the wife of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3, talk about she gave birth to a prophetic child. She gave birth to a prophetic child. Now, when you look at the text in Acts chapter 21 and the verses 9, the word, you must understand now, the word prophecy, the word prophecy was a generic term. It just means the speaking forth. It does not mean preacher. And this is what most folks understand, don't understand. The word prophetess or prophet does not mean preacher. It means that God can even use whatever he wants to use to speak for him, and he do it a one-time deal. So when you look at the role of the woman, and we look at the daughters of Philip, which did prophesy. Yes, they prophesied, but they did not. They was not preachers. Anna, the prophetess in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus Christ came, his mother brought him to the temple, don't you know that she was so thrilled to be. She was 84 years old, and she was called a prophetess because she didn't remarry again. And so when you look at the Bible, we must understand now, prophecy had its time in its turn. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 13, read it on your own, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. And the word fail means cease. Prophecy had its time. It did what it's supposed to do. It did what it's supposed to do. It had its time. And so when you look at, turn your Bible now to Titus. Turn your Bible to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Prophecy had its time, and when it was fulfilled, and then that was it. But it was not a preacher. Does not mean preacher or minister. When you look at the Hebrew terminology of it, it meant just the speaking forth. The speaking forth of a one-time prophetic deal. So God dealt with that. And then when it had its time, even prophecy had its time. There is no more prophets today. Understand me now. Hebrews 1 and 1, God has sung your time, and divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in the last days spoken unto us by his son. There is no more prophets. So there was not prophet. They had their time. And so when you look at Titus chapter 2, it gives us the responsibility of the women. The women must speak forth to other women. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but I speak thou the thing which shall become sound doctrine, that the aged men, and talking about the men, be sober, temperate, sound in faith, charity, patient. But notice now what it said about the aged women. This is what the aged women are supposed to do. This is their what they're supposed to teach. What prophecy means, teach others speaking forth. It says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedience to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So this is the prophetic thing that women ought to do today. They ought to be teaching the younger women, not standing before the congregation and preaching the word of God. So when you look at the Bible, it clearly teaches us. I mean, you can't get around it. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, turn your Bible now with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the verse is number 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. So obviously, We know that in the book of Acts was in the New Testament, so Philip's daughter could not have been preachers because the Bible says that Paul told Timothy that the women should not use their authority over man, and preaching is authority. And then verse 13 tells us why. It says, for Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgressions. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and in sobriety. So now notice that. Then let's turn our Bible also to another text in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to begin reading, if you will, at verse number 33. For God is not the author of confusion. So don't be confused about this. If God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, this is what happened in the churches of the saints. We are in the churches of the saints age. The churches of the saints. Verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? In other words, why are you confused? Verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the law. In other words, that women cannot, if you are a true prophet, a prophet is going to go along with the word of God. He's not going to change. A prophet is going to teach God's word. A priest is one that goes from man to God. A prophet goes from God to man. So he says, what is the verse today? But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You can't take over. You can't do what you want to do. There's nowhere in the scripture that any woman stood up and preached. Now, one thing I do know is that men can preach. And I'm not going to take a chance. I wouldn't take a chance of anybody. Listen, don't take a chance. We know men can preach. We know men have preached. We know men are preaching. If you want to go to heaven, stick with the man. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay Phillip. May God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Clay, for that response to that question. Now, preachers of the gospel, I hope you have your lessons ready, because those are the types of questions that we are dealing with in the year 2019. So please be ready to answer these questions. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Not a problem.
All right. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for the Gospel Light radio show.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact Bank of Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send your email to our new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. The Deep River Church of Christ, located in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate will be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls and has a keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit their homepage on their website at www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, cover letter, and free professional references to Deep River COC at triad.com. On December 14, 2019, there'll be a 2019 New Converts Workshop at the North Greece Road Church of Christ. And that address is 1039 North Greece Road, Rochester, New York, 14626. For more information, please call 585-256-0190. And just a program reminder, Stephen P's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of every month, we air a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. And this show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And one of my co-hosts will be on the air presenting a lesson on that show. And then on Tuesday night, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week we'll have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Church of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. Also, we have the Community Corner segment, that signals for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. Also, my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark N. Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana, will be presenting lessons from the Word of God on this broadcast. And then on Thursday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, and I have 9 co-hosts on this show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week I have 2 co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on the show. And then on Friday night, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And on this broadcast, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists. We'll also be debuting new music featuring old music. On this Friday night, we'll be debuting some new music from Daryl Smith. He's one of the former members of the Four Christian Stars from Hollywood, Florida. And also, we're doing the Top 20 Countdown Show for the month of December. The next scheduled show will be on December the 20th. I'll be counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of December. We're also doing a marathon show for whatever artists that were featured on that show. We'll just be playing their music for the entire show. And the next scheduled marathon show will be on April the 24th, 2020. We'll be featuring the group United Acapella out of Houston, Texas. And my on-demand episodes, if you can't catch any of these live shows during the course of the week, you can always go to my affiliate internet stations or wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from and tune in to these on-demand episodes that's airing here on Blog Talk Radio. There's over 450 episodes for your listening pleasure. You can get these on-demand episodes from Podcast Addict, from Listening Notes, from Himalaya, from Podcast App, from LinkedIn. Also go to Beatport, from Podbay, go to Chart Table, and also Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes, or acaradio.net. Go to IOA Radio, go to mccbroadcasting.com. Go to ivcbroadcasting.com. Go to YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see their playlist, Acapella Radio. And also go to World of Acapella and now also on Deezer. I want to give a shout-out to all of my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. We certainly appreciate them. My sponsor, Cheryl Norwood, from Chicago, Illinois. Her company is called Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthier living. My sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director of Crematory Services in DeSoto, Texas. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips, he's the owner of A Touch of Glass of Pearl in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC in Dallas, Texas. The owner is Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And my sponsor, Cheryl Marat, she's from Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with the Compassion in Haiti Leaders, and she's been serving Northern Haiti for 20-plus years, and they invite you to be a part of something greater than yourselves. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.compassionatehaitileader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch from Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Stay tuned.
From the
James the Third and his subject, restoration.
I want to say good evening to each and every one of you, and I'm so excited about this lesson on tonight because I believe it's something that we need to talk more about in the body of Christ, which is restoration. One of the things that we're very skilled at, one of the things that we're very good at is identifying sin. We're very good at seeing error in other people. We have become professionals at diagnosing the problem in churches and in our country. We're very good at diagnosing the problems, maybe even within our fellowship. But one of the things that we need to equally put attention to, and I believe it's necessary to identify sin. I believe it's necessary to identify error. I believe it's necessary to identify dysfunction, because anything that's dysfunctional doesn't grow right. And so when you have people who gloss over sin, when you have people who glaze over unrighteousness, it poisons the fellowship. It poisons what is pure. And so what do you want to do? It's the same thing that your doctor would say. When the doctor finds that there is impurities in your body, he would tell you to drink water. The Bible is referred to, the Word of God is referred to as living water. And the more water that you drink, it flushes out the toxins in your body. And maybe many of the problems that we have is that we're not consuming enough of the Word of God that allows us to see clearly and to do those things that would be pleasing and acceptable unto God. But restoration is not about identifying problems. Restoration is a part of the gospel. Matter of fact, restoration is why Jesus came. Matter of fact, Jesus was in the temple, and the Bible says, he says, I have come. They handed him the book of Isaiah. He stood up and he began to read. I have come to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to recover sight to the blind. I've come for restoration. I've come to give back what people have lost, is why Jesus said he came. And so we lost our relationship with God. Jesus came to get it back. So even though Jesus does not walk with sin, his focus and his emphasis when he came was not to focus on our brokenness, but to do something about it. If a church is in a community, the church is not there and the preacher is not there to only identify the problem. What benefit is it for me to go to the hospital and the doctor walks in and says, listen, you have many problems, and he gives me this long litany of issues that I may have, and then walks out of the room and hands me a bill and says, pay me for identifying your problems. One of the problems that I would have with that is I did not come here for you to just tell me what's wrong. I came here so that I can get some help. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 talks to us. It talks to the churches in Galatia and the church abroad. It talks to the essence of why Jesus came. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. The Bible informs us that if you identify somebody that is caught in a sin, I'm not just talking about somebody who made a mistake. That's not what I believe that the scripture is talking about. Not somebody who slipped up this past weekend or said something or did something they weren't supposed to do. When a person is caught in a sin, means that there is a snare, there is a hook in them, that even if they fight and struggle to get loose, that sin has a hold on them. This is something that they're living in. This is something that they're caught in. So the Bible says this, if you're a brother or sister and you see that your brother or sister in Christ is caught in the sin, it didn't say in Galatians chapter 6, it didn't say just preach to them. it didn't say that you're supposed to say, well, they know better. It didn't say that you're supposed to cut them off. Don't get me wrong. There is a season where you need to disfellowship. I believe one of the problems that we have in our fellowship is that we disfellowship without taking the proper steps in Christ. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to follow. I believe in disfellowship. But we have to follow the steps that Christ has implemented. When you don't follow biblical steps, you don't get biblical results. So then what we end up doing is we end up having a fracture in our fellowship because we didn't follow steps. And and one side feels like they've been done wrong, and the other side feels justified. And God cannot be pleased because nobody did what they were supposed to do. The Bible says that when somebody's caught in sin, the first thing that we're supposed to do is not talk about them, beat them up, disrespect them, or get on social media and blog about them. The first thing we're supposed to do, if you're living by the Spirit. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, this doesn't pertain to you. The scripture says, if you have the Holy Spirit, those who are spiritual. Now, if you're not spiritual, this doesn't refer to you. But to restore them with meekness or gentility. The Bible says they're in sin. And sometimes what we like to do is we like to go and get them. But the Bible says, no. I'm going to even, if we're following the scripture tells you even the intensity that you're supposed to approach them. And it's supposed to be gently. You know what? They could be caught in sin and they could have even hurt you. They could have said some things and been doing some things that have hurt the body of Christ. And Jesus, the Word of God, and in his teaching, still teaches that you're supposed to approach them with meekness and gentleness. Why do you go to a person who's caught in sin? Why do you go to them gently? The purpose and the intent of why you would even go to somebody that's caught in sin is not to shame them. The purpose is for restoration. The scripture says that you should restore them. Restore means that a person used to be in a position, but because of circumstances and situations, they are no longer there. So what you would do if you're trying to restore somebody is that you would provide steps and an environment and a place where they can get back. A lot of our saints in the body of Christ, when they fall into sin, our churches are not the proper environment for them to come back to Christ, not because Christ didn't design the church to be that way, is because we have been neglectful. We have been so excited about identifying the sin that when a person repents or they have shown remorse to get back, we have failed to implement programs and an environment and a spirit that would allow them to not be consumed in their shame, but to be able to show their face again and be received with love and gentility. Then the Bible says this, but watch yourselves. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. So the Bible says that you need to consider yourself. So when you're restoring somebody, you need to check yourself to make sure that you don't become a stumbling block for somebody who's trying to make their way back to Christ. There are some people who sin, and it takes them 3 years to wake up. There are some people who sin, and they have to go through a series of sorrow and pain. I know some people who followed false doctrine, and when they wanted to come back, we didn't allow them to repent. Now I want to be very clear. You got to repent. I'm not talking about accepting people and they have not seen the error of their ways. I'm speaking to someone who is caught in sin. And I'm speaking to the people who are focused on restoration, that your approach to a person can be a stumbling block. Your approach could drive them even further in the sin. And somebody says, well, they make their own decisions. But when we're in the body of Christ, we're all connected. I'm not talking about somebody who's not a Christian. I'm not talking about somebody who's outside of the fellowship. I'm talking about somebody who is your brother and sister in Christ. How you talk to a person, how you approach a person, how you address their situation could either open the door for them to come back or drive them further. Verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6 says, make sure you take a good look at yourself. Somebody that's listening to me right now say, you don't understand, Brother Will. I've tried. I'm not talking to you personally. I don't know anybody's personal situation. I'm not talking about any church. I'm not talking about any preacher specifically. I'm not talking about any Christian specifically. I'm preaching a truth. If we were to all study Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it's a truth. When you find somebody in sin, go get them. Don't go talk about them. Go get them. Get in your car. Get on your phone. Make the phone call. Go reach them. Go see them face to face. But the Bible says, but when you go. Now, everybody can't go because everybody ain't spiritual. Some saints need to stay at home. Mm-hmm. But if you're spiritual, then go gently to them. Let them know that God still loves them. We're waiting on them to come back. Tell them that we miss them. They say, you know what? I haven't gone anywhere. They say, you know what? When you got caught up in this sin, you did go somewhere. And we love you and we want you to come back. Somebody says, no, you need to tell it like it is. I can tell it like it is without screaming in their face. I don't have to raise my voice to get my point across. Now, you deal with people. There's different people, different styles. But one thing that should never be argued in the body of Christ, going to somebody in love should be clearly seen. And the purpose of restoration, when we're able to restore, it makes the angels in heaven rejoice. It makes Jesus happy. That verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know why I'm invested and interested in restoring saints who've fallen away? People who've left the church of Christ, people who've left the faith. You know why we're interested? Now, you can't go get everybody, but you know why I'm interested in even the discussion of restoration? Because when I do it, if you read verse 2, when I do it, I fulfill the law of Christ in my life. As you go into 2020, there's some people that have fallen away. There's some people who got caught up in some stuff. Go to them gently. We don't force nobody to come back, but one thing we can do is say, God loves you, and we miss you. And if you can come back to Christ, our relationship can be restored. And if you do that, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. God bless you. Thank you so much for all those who've listened. I pray that you meditate on this word. I pray that you incorporate these things into your daily walk and watch God smile over you when you go after his sheep who may have been caught in the thicket, and he sees you untangling them. You are fulfilling the law of Christ. God bless you.
Cool inside, so cool inside. Don't you want to go where it's cool inside? Dum 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 dum. Ain't gonna be
trouble all over. Trouble all over. When we see Jesus, we'll have a big celebration and send invitations to all our friends and relations. We'll have a ball, and our hearts will be as one. Oh, let's wait and see.
To the Gospel Light radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening, and we certainly appreciate those who've been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio and on Facebook Live. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my co-host, Patrick L. Medlock, for his subject, God Doesn't Need Another Fan. Great lesson from our dear brother, Patrick. He always does a great job. And also my co-host, Willie Williams III. His lesson was restoration, much needed lesson for the body of Christ. I also want to thank my co-host, Clay Phillips. He answered our shouted-out question from an anonymous query from the state of Virginia, and that query is wanting to know, can we infer that Phillips' daughters were preachers? And my brother Clay gave a very thorough answer to that question. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank, it is my prayer that the lessons that were given on the radio show have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning into this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of my co-host of the Gospel Light Radio Show, good night, everybody. God bless you.
God in charge of the heavens and the earth. Without form, He chose 6 days to make the world. And then He rested one, looking at the space, the day, the night, the weather, the land. It's clear to understand. I realize the power of God and the weakness of man. Then I consider that was created. He said that it was oh so good, and that is why.
Gospel Light Radio Show, Episode 170.
Something I don't, something I don't.
He created the heavens, he created the earth.
Tell me something that I don't know.
He became a human through a virgin birth, yeah.
Tell me something. Yeah.
Something that I